discovering stories of courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
Life is short, I want to live it well. One life, one story to tell. Life is short, I want to live it well. And you're the one I'm living for.
He's found the words to bless listeners across three decades of amazing songs. And he's at it again.
We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors.
The gifted storyteller, songwriter, and recording artist, Stephen Curtis Chapman, makes his way across America this spring with the SEC Solo Tour. It's a no-frills evening of songs and stories with the most decorated artist in CCM history. We welcome back the one and only Stephen Curtis Chapman today to talk tour and dig into the stories that brought him from Paducah, Kentucky, to the top of the charts. The very best of weekends to you, good man. Is the day treating you pleasantly, sir?
Well, it is treating me wet, but well. Yes, I am, as I told you before we went on the air, I'm currently on the road from Nashville to Memphis, Tennessee, for a little event this evening, and it is... Apparently, the ground needs a great degree of watering and moisture because the rains are falling, as we say around in these parts, like cats and dogs. And so it's raining quite a bit, but it is a good day for sure. And I got to be home this morning with my bride and my granddaughter, one of our six. Actually, my granddaughter and my grandson. I got to take my grandson to his little school this morning. That was fun. I'm walking into preschool for my little grandson Noble, and none other than Michael W. comes walking out. So we have a little grandpa moment standing in the parking lot of the preschool at our grandkids' school, and talking about, isn't this the best, man, dropping off grandkids? So there's a little interesting moment for the day.
Are you serious? So the grandkids of Michael W. Smith and Stephen Curtis Chapman go to the same preschool.
That's exactly right. Yes. Isn't that hilarious?
That I think we need to stop the interview now, sir. I don't think I was expecting to discover anything that awesome the whole time.
Pretty special. Now, you know, and hopefully they sing Friends every day and The Great Adventure, but I'm not sure if that happens or not, but they should.
That is the best thing I've heard all day. Thank you so much for that. So do I have the essence then of this tour correct, sir? The SEC Solo Tour with the simple phrase, a man, his guitars, and a night of great stories. Is that what we're looking at?
That is it. Yes, sir. A night of we've used several different little taglines trying to capture, you know, what's unique about the night. And we've talked about a night of hits. Influence. So we've said history, hits, and influence, which, you know, talking obviously about a history of 30 plus years now since my first album came out. And this night of music has songs from really all of those years, all of those albums. A night really talking about, you know, the influences in my life. This tour, sort of the idea of this tour began, gosh, five, six years ago when I started writing a book called Between Heaven and the Real World, My Story, which was my autobiography that came out a couple of years ago. And as I was writing my story, there was this process of remembering, you know, going back and just retracing the steps of my journey, not only my musical journey, but my faith journey, which goes all the way back to, you know, being a boy growing up in Kentucky. And even before that, growing up, you know, just my family, the story of kind of the, you know, the context that, you know, where faith began to impact my life and my family, and how that influenced the songs and the music that I would create all these years later, and just kind of share that story, you know, talk about my family, falling in love with my wife, our journey together, adoption journey, our marriage, the struggles, the good, bad, and the ugly. And so as I share all of that in my book, it was a powerful thing for me, that remembering process. And I thought, you know, I would love to do this, sort of the musical version of this, and do it with, you know, my audience, friends who have been on this journey with me for all those 30 plus years. Yeah. With my music, how special would it be to just be able to and I would love to do it just me and a guitar, kind of the way it all started, you know, just taking my guitar. There's a piano there for a couple of songs as well, but just really sharing the story and sharing these songs in their purest form, just me and the guitar singing through these songs and telling the stories of my journey that kind of gave birth to these songs.
Man. Well, it's such a special opportunity. And, you know, a story in a song is still just so powerful. You know, it reaches right into our hearts, and God can change absolutely everything from that beginning. And you think about it, science is still trying to figure it out. You know, what goes on in the brain? Does that phenomenon make any more sense to you all these years later after you first started penning the songs? Or does it still just kind of leave you in wonder?
It is very much still, well, more so a humbling thing than you know, ever. Because the more I observe it 30 years later, the more amazed I am, you know, of just the power of a song. I think even now, because I see something that I wouldn't have known, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, certainly wouldn't have known at the beginning, is not only the power of a song to move someone, you know, with a truth or with a story, but the power to take us back. You know, songs now for me, many of them are kind of those stones of remembrance that, you know, the Israelites had in the Old Testament, where they would go back and have these memorials of God's faithfulness and God's presence and God's provision. And I think for me, these songs have become that too. And so now, you know, the mystery of that, just how powerful a song can be to take us back to a place to kind of, you know, reawaken something that, you know, a memory or an experience in our life.
Yeah.
And I think all that's part of the wonder that God created when he created this thing of art and music, and, you know, how it reaches into the kind of into the soul, I think, deeper than even just the spoken word can. There's a power in it. And all of that, for me, just sort of makes me go, God, you're so full of wonder. Create your creation, the way you put things together and the way you created us, and the way you speak to us in ways that you know, we can't even really fully comprehend. Yeah. The mystery of that is all part of what just kind of makes me, you know, bow in wonder of God's just awesomeness and goodness and greatness.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks for taking us inside that. That's pretty special to hear you reflect on that. Stephen Curtis Chapman, the beloved recording artist, making his way across America through the rain right now in Middle Tennessee on the SEC solo tour this spring. StephenCurtisChapman.com, the place to go for tour stops and for the ticket link as well. In just a moment, if you'll indulge me, I want to go down memory lane just a little bit with you. But, you know, this is the age of pyrotechnics, the age of smoke machines and lasers up there on the stage. So in this age specifically, what is it that still draws you so much to this environment that you described? Just the man, his guitars, and that stripped down, really direct and authentic performance.
Yeah. Well, that's part of the, you know, I've been really blessed over the years to have tours, you know, where I've had all of the light show and never been huge on pyrotechnics. I think there might have been, you know, a show here or there where something caught on fire that wasn't supposed to. So I guess I've had a couple of moments of pyrotechnics, but never, you know, a lot on purpose. But certainly some amazing light shows. And I remember how excited we were when moving lights first came along, and you know, you could program them to actually move on stage, and they were like these robot lights that were so cool. You know, I've been around long enough to remember all of that, you know, and then, you know, they got this thing called electricity, and it was so awesome. You know, I was that happened before me, but it, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, incredible things with production, and certainly you know, that's exciting, and an audience gets, you know, caught up in that. It's cool, but really, you know, there's a saying that we have in Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, as we like to call it, that this old saying that says it all begins with a song, you know, and really it is. I mean, that no matter how many, you know, explosions and lights and moving lights and lasers and video screens and whatever, it, you know, it's all of that is there to serve the song, because without the song, none of that really matters. And what people really connect with, what brought them there, what is a part of their life, isn't the light show. It's the song. It's, you know, that melody and those lyrics, and especially in what I am so privileged to do, Christian music, you know, it's truth communicated with a melody and, you know, with chords and with music that literally have the power to change people's lives. God, you know, can become tangible, but kind of put skin on sometimes through a song. And wow. So, you know, for me, being able to do that with this tour, it's just, you know, again, just me and the guitar. And there's something in the purity of that. Sometimes all the, you know, production and all those other elements can actually overshadow the song. And I'm such a lover of songs, and as a songwriter, you know, that what you can communicate at the core of a song, that's part of what I love about this tour, because it's the most organic, kind of simple version of these songs, which allow the real heartbeat of the song to kind of be heard and be experienced.
You know, telling the stories being the theme of this tour and really the conversation as well, would you indulge us for just a moment and take us back to growing up in the Chapman House in Paducah, Kentucky? Your dad just happened to be a guitar teacher, right?
Yeah, he did, and still is. In fact, he is still almost 80 years old. He'll be 80 in June, and he, every day of the week, 5 days a week, sometimes even on Saturday, you can find him at Chapman Music. He still has a little music store in Paducah, Kentucky, where he gets guitar lessons. And it's just amazing the stories that he tells, that, you know, the students. I'll have people come up to me on tour at different places around the country even and say, I took lessons from your dad. You know, I had guitar lessons from Herb Chapman when I was, you know, a kid or whatever. And he's a, you know, a great man, great teacher, great musician, still a great singer, songwriter. When I was a kid growing up, he wrote songs. And I even got him to sing, you know, I've gotten him to sing on a couple of recordings with me, and those have been so special. He's just a, you know, a great part of my life, musically, my spiritual journey, all of that. And pretty amazing.
Did you find yourself drawn to the instrument right away? Was there a period of deciding whether or not you were really into it, or was it just instantaneous, just the lightning struck and you and the guitar were together?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was a lover of guitar before I even could play, cause my dad played guitar, and those are my earliest memories of my dad's, you know, playing guitar with his buddies, banjo, you know, growing up in Kentucky, it was bluegrass music, banjos and guitar and dobros and you know, upright bass. So I love the sound of that. You know, I was drawn into the guitar as early as I can remember. I got my first guitar when I was 6 years old. I share a little bit of this in the concert each night, talk about, you know, my dad teaching me my first song on the guitar when I was 6 years old, and the first guitar I had, and just my memories of that still are so special. It's been so fun for me to get to kind of remember and retell that story night after night, even in this tour.
Oh, I can't imagine that. What an amazing legacy to have passed down to you. Was there a moment when somebody really spoke into your life and helped you realize that, wow, I mean, this isn't just a young man who can play the chords and can sing a little bit. This is something that could really be special. Was there somebody that spoke into your life in that way to kind of affirm what was going on there?
Well, probably, you know, I mean, as a kid, people would often say, man, I think you've got talent. God's given you a gift and talent. My dad was always encouraging of me, particularly as a guitar player. My older brother was actually more the singer growing up, and I was kind of the guitar guy. But then when I started writing songs a little bit in high school, as my brother went off to college and left, you know, people would say, wow, those songs are, you know, pretty good. I mean, you know, I really like that. And, you know, and I started getting that little bit of a sense of maybe there's something here, but still, you know, I went on to college. I was a pre-med major for one semester because my dad had told me, you know, if you're going to go to college, get a real job. Music and guitar, playing a guitar is hard to feed a family, you know, playing a guitar.
Of course.
So I was on track for that, although struggling intensely with my pre-med majoring in my freshman year of college. And I met a guy who introduced me to a mentor of mine, and the guy who gave me my first publishing deal and my first opportunity to get my songs heard by other people, and kind of led to me moving to Nashville and getting started in all of this. And that guy's name was Bill Gaither. So really, Bill Gaither was the one who, like he has for so many artists, he really was the one who took me in and kind of mentored me and gave me a shot. And actually, I went in the studio with Bill here about 6 months ago and did a recording interview with him and some music. And it's going to be released here in a couple of months, which was really special, just getting to sit and talk with Bill Gaither about my past and his part that he played in that.
You depart then with the assistance there of Bill Gaither to go to Music City. And I did notice as well then that when you did that, of course, you left the program where you were at Anderson University. But just a few years back then, they actually had you back to do something pretty special, was to give you an honorary doctorate of music, right? That had to be a pretty special part of your life as well, part of your journey.
It really was. It blew me away. I was asked to come speak at commencement. I had no idea they were going to do that for me. And they presented me with the honorary doctorate. And, you know, I was very, very grateful, humbled by it. I have on occasion with my daughter, particularly Johanna, who just started college as a freshman in a med major, and kind of on that track. And at times I've tried to convince her that I'm a doctor and that she should probably call me Dr. Dad or Dr. Father or something like that. And she's not so impressed with the honorary doctorate part of it. She's like, Dad, honorary. Now, that doesn't mean, it really doesn't mean what you think it means. You know, it does not make you a doctor. And on top of it, she's like, you know, the hood that you have is pink, because that's the color for a music doctorate, and it's pink. She's like, it's a pink hood, so that's even that's two strikes against you. So I'm not super impressed by that, yeah. but you know, good for you nonetheless. You know, that's kind of her attitude towards it, which is kind of funny and, you know, kind of frustrating. So I've, yeah, you know, left her out of the will and all that at this point, and, you know, told her that. So no, it's funny, but it was very, very kind of them and real special. That's a special place for me. Anderson is where so much of my music, you know, the opportunities came from that. Sandy Patty was there at Anderson when I was just ahead of me and my brother, and she recorded a couple of my songs and got to, you know, open for Sandy there at Anderson on some concerts and toured for the college and spent time with Bill and Gloria Gaither there. So it's a special place.
Man. Well, what an amazing time. What an amazing journey of stories with Stephen Curtis Chapman, the beloved recording artist making his way across America on the SEC solo tour this spring. StephenCurtisChapman.com for tour stops and the ticket link. Sir, it was an absolute pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Yes, sir. Great to be with you as well. I appreciate you, and bless you. Bless you, Ryan. Thank you.
Thank you so very much for that, good sir. Well, what kind of Stephen Curtis Chapman fans would we be if we didn't use the opportunity of speaking to the good man today to play perhaps his most iconic hit, The Great Adventure? We'll go ahead and share that together. And on the other side, we'll say goodbye here on Faith Radio's On the Road.
Saddle up your horses. I had to do.
Thank you so very much for sharing a special conversation today with the one and only Stephen Curtis Chapman, going over 3 decades of incredible ministry with the good man, and we would not want to share it with anybody else but with you. Thank you so much for being here today on the road. When it comes to decades of music and ministry, Faith Radio has just been so incredibly blessed now to share 7 decades of ministry with you. It goes all the way back to a February afternoon in 1949 on the campus of what was then called Northwestern Schools, what is now called the University of Northwestern. 70 years of Faith Radio, and the opportunity to celebrate is coming up next month. Saturday, March the 16th is the date. The Knight Performance Hall at the University of Northwestern in St. Paul, Minnesota is the place. If you happen to have plans to be in or near the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul next month, it should be an amazing evening of celebration of 70 years of Faith Radio. It's going to feature the original cast of the much-beloved comedy show Triple Espresso, including our own Bill Arnold and his good pals Michael Pierce Donnelly and Bob Stromberg. All the information on Faith Radio's 70th anniversary event is at myfaithradio.com, including the link for tickets. And thank you so very much, my friend, for being with us for this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. If you ever miss a moment or you miss an episode of the program, never fear. All you have to do is head to myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, and you can find each program in its entirety that we've ever aired right there at myfaithradio.com. the very best of weekends to you, my friend. We'll talk to you right here again next week on The Road.